And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, it's a May 26th. Another day in lockdown, though not everybody is bothered by it. The husband of the governor of Michigan called the lake where he had his boat, asked for it to be put in the water ahead of everybody else because he was the husband of the governor. That does raise interesting questions, since she has been so adamant about people staying in lockdown, but that doesn't apply to her and her husband, of course. Now, May 26th is 146th day of the year. In leap years, it's 147 on the Gregorian calendar. In the year 17, Germanicus celebrates a triumph in Rome for his victories over the Cherusci, the Chatti, and the other German tribes of the Elbe. 451, the Battle of Alvarea between Armenian rebels and the Sasanian Empire. The Sassanids defeat the Armenians militarily, but guarantee them freedom to openly practice Christianity. Again, more bloodshed over religion than anything else. 946, King Edmund I of England is murdered by a thief who he personally attacks while celebrating St. Augustine's Mass Day. 961, King Otto I elects his six-year-old son, Otto II, as heir apparent and co-ruler of the East Frankish Kingdom. He's crowned at Aachen, placed under the tutelage of his grandmother, Matilda. 1135, Alfonso VII of Leon and Castile is crowned in Leon Cathedral as Imperator Totius Hispaniae, Emperor of all of Spain. 1293, an earthquake strikes Kamakura, Kanagawa, Japan, killing about 23,000 people. 1328, William of Ockham, Franciscan Minister General Michael of Cesena, and two other Franciscan leaders secretly leave Avignon, fearing a death sentence from Pope John XXII. 1538, Geneva expels John Calvin and his followers from the city. Calvin lives in exile in Strasbourg for the next 3 years. 1573, the Battle of Haarlemmermeer, naval engagement in the Dutch War of Independence. 1637, the Pequot War. Combined English and Mohegan force under John Mason attacks a village in Connecticut. Massacres about 500 Pequots. 1644, Portuguese Restoration War. Portuguese and Spanish forces both claim victory in the Battle of Montijo. 1736, the Battle of Acquia, fought near the present site of Tupelo, Mississippi. British and Chickasaw soldiers repelled a French and Choctaw attack on the then Chickasaw village of Acquia. 1770, the Orlo Revolt, an attempt to revolt against the Ottoman Empire before the Greek War of Independence, ends in a disaster for the Greeks. 1783, a great Jubilee Day held in North Stratford, Connecticut, celebrated the end of the fighting in the American Revolution. 1805, Napoleon Bonaparte assumes the title King of Italy and is crowned with the Iron Crown of Lombardy in Milan Cathedral, the Gothic Cathedral in Milan. 1821, establishment of the Peloponnesian Senate by the Greek rebels. 1822, 116 people die in the Gruchurch fire, the biggest fire disaster in Norway's history. 1830, the Indian Removal Act is passed by Congress, signed into law by President Jackson 2 days later. 1857, Dred Scott's emancipated by the Blow family as original owners. 1864, Montana's organized as a U.S. territory. 1865, the Confederate General Edmund Kirby Smith, commander of the Confederate Trans-Mississippi Division, is the last full general of the Confederate Army to surrender at Galveston, Texas. 1868, the impeachment of Andrew Johnson ends with his acquittal by one vote. 1869, Boston University is chartered by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. 1879, Russia and the United Kingdom signed the Treaty of Gandamak, establishing an Afghan state. 1896, Nicholas II becomes the last Tsar of Imperial Russia. That same year, Charles Dow publishes the first edition of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. 1897, Bram Stoker publishes Dracula. That same year, the original manuscript of William Bradford's History of Plymouth Plantations returned to the governor of Massachusetts by the Bishop of London after it was taken during the American Revolution. 1900, the Thousand Days War. The Colombian Conservative Party turns the tide of war in their favor with the victory against the Colombian Rebel Party in the Battle of Pella Negro. 1908, the first major commercial oil strike in the Middle East was made by Masjid Soleiman in southwest Persia. The rights to the resources are quickly acquired by the Anglo-Persian Oil Company. 1917, several powerful tornadoes ripped through Illinois, including the city of Mattoon. 1918, a Democratic Republic of Georgia is established. 1923, the first 24 hours of Le Mans was held and has since been run annually in June. 1936, in the House of Commons in Northern Ireland, Tommy Henderson began speaking on the appropriation bill. By the time he sat down in the early hours of the following morning, he had spoken for 10 hours. 1937, Walter Arthur and the members of the United Auto Workers clashed with Ford Motor Company security guards at the River Rouge Complex in Dearborn, Michigan, during the Battle of the Overpass. 1938, the House Un-American Activities Committee begins its first session. 1940, Operation Dynamo. In northern France, Allied forces begin a massive evacuation from Dunkirk. Also in 1940, the Siege of Calais ends with the surrender of the British and French garrisons. 1942, the Battle of Gazala takes place. 1948, Congress passes Public Law 80-557 that permanently establishes the Civil Air Patrol as an auxiliary of the United States Air Force. 1966, British Guiana gains independence, becoming Guyana. 1967, the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Comes Band album is released. 1968, traffic changes from driving on the left to driving on the right overnight in Iceland. 1969, Apollo 10 returns to Earth after a successful 8-day test of all the components needed for the first manned moon landing. 1970, the Soviet Tupolev Tu-144 becomes the first commercial transport to exceed Mach 2. 1971, the Bangladesh Liberation War. Pakistan Army slaughters at least 71 Hindus in Barunga, Soyut, in Bangladesh. 1972, the U.S. and the Soviet Union signed the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty. 1981, Italian Prime Minister Arnaldo Forlani and his coalition cabinet resign following a scandal over membership of the pseudo-Masonic Lodge, P2. 1981, the EA-6B Prowler crashes on the flight deck of the Nimitz, killing 14 crewmen and injuring 45 others. 1983, the 7.8 magnitude Sea of Japan earthquake shakes northern Honshu with a maximum Mercalli intensity of 8, which is considered severe. A destructive tsunami is generated that leaves 100 people dead. 1986, European Community adopts a European flag. 1991, Zviad Gamsakhurada becomes the first elected president of the Republic of Georgia in the post-Soviet era. 1991, Lauda Air Flight 4 breaks apart in midair and crashes in the Phu Tho National Park in Thailand, kills all 223 people on board. 1998, Supreme Court of the U.S. rules in New Jersey versus New York that Ellis Island, the historic gateway for millions of immigrants, is mainly in the state of New Jersey, not New York. 1998, the first National Sorry Day was held in Australia. Reconciliation events were held nationally, attended by over 1 million people. 2002, the tugboat Robert Love collides with a support pier of Interstate 40 on the Arkansas River near Weber's Fall, Oklahoma. 14 died and 11 others were injured. 2004, U.S. Army veteran Terry Nichols is found guilty of 161 state murder charges for helping carry out the Oklahoma City bombing. They never did get to the bottom of that entire mess. 2008, severe flooding begins in eastern and southern China that ultimately caused 148 deaths and forced the evacuation of 1.3 million people. And then we have births and deaths that are just a tremendous number. Holidays and observances. Christian Feast Day, Augustine of Canterbury in Anglican Communion and Eastern Orthodox. Lambert of Venice, Peter Sands, one of the martyrs, saints of China, Philip Neri, Pope Eleutherus, Quadratus of Athens, Zachary, Bishop of Vienna, and Eastern Orthodox liturgics for May 26th. Independence Day commemorates the day of the First Republic in 1918 in Georgia. Also celebrates independence of Guyana from the United Kingdom in 1966. Mother's Day in Poland, National Paper Airplane Day in the U.S., and National Sorry Day in Australia. It's quite an interesting country. Well, you know, one of the things that we have spent a lot of time working on is our TV show, Beyond Roswell. And right now we have a preview that's available on our Facebook page. It's also on YouTube. The interesting thing, whatever may be the truth about Roswell, there are those that believe it is the only potential crash, but that's not true. It's one of many. In fact, there's one not too far from El Paso. And I wrote about that in the book called Beyond Roswell. And we filmed the first season of what we hope is a long-running TV show. But with all that's taken place, it has not moved with the rapidity we would have hoped. All right, we... And looking at the haunted places in California, we've got Ridgecrest, Burroughs High School Lecture Center. Now, there are two ghosts said to haunt the lecture center. One man died when he fell off some scaffolding and dropped 100 feet on his head during the building of the auditorium. Second man was an actor in a play in a school's drama club. Scene where the main character was shot was tragically ended when another member of the club put a live bullet in a prop gun. Why? Nobody seems to know. Custodians in the building report lights being turned back on after several attempts to cut them off. And a seat on the left side has cold areas noticed by anybody who sits there. During plays where a scene is very sad, the left curtain blows when there's no draft. But it's interesting to note that the live bullet in the prop gun has never been properly addressed. Then in Riverside, there's the Alta Vista Convalescent Home. The call light turns on in a room after the patient passes away. The heavy medication door closes by itself on Station 3. A lot of reports by staff that they've seen a ghostly figure of a man who killed himself years ago on Station 3. He appears when you least expect it. And at the villa in Riverside, one block north of the Mission Inn, is an antique store called At the Villa. It's housed in an old building built about 1890, which is the original mercantile block for Riverside. Witnesses report objects move of their own accord and sometimes disappear only to reappear in a different spot. And there's also the very strong scent of perfume. A lady who had the shop at this location died violently in a carjacking in the mid-1990s, and a lot of folks say it's her spirit that has come back to haunt the building, though it is an old building. If you ask the staff about any of this, they'll usually laugh and then proceed to tell you about personal experiences. Then there's the California Baptist University, the catacombs. Before the old mission-style buildings were college campus, they had an insane asylum. Early 1900s to the 1950s, mentally insane patients walked the halls of this four-story building. Underneath the building was a network of catacombs that allowed hospital workers to enter and exit the hospital once all the doors were locked at ground level. It's rumored that sometimes patients were taken down into the catacombs to be, shall we say, reasoned with. The basement of the college now holds offices, but this is also where the entrance to the catacombs is located. Throughout the campus, there are entrances to the catacombs as well. And at night, you can hear knocking on the door that leads to the catacombs in the basement, and you feel a very cold presence, even though you don't see anything. At random times, the secret entrances will be found open with freezing air coming out of them. Students have reported going into the catacombs and seeing the spirits of the patients from the asylum walk through solid walls. It does make you wonder. Then Riverside is Castle Park. Now, a lot of employees have reported seeing a lady in a white dress in the car park, as well as one employee was physically pushed inside the Big Top restaurant by something or someone he couldn't see. Sightings have also included a spirit standing on the balcony above the Plaza Cafe. The spirit reported it flew across to the trees when the employee looked up at it. The last experience was inside the arcade after hours. Strangely enough, all sightings and experiences reported are by males, and the spirits are reportedly female. Now, nobody can point to any harm done by the spirits. This area of land from the Tyler Mall to La Sierra Boulevard is an old Indian burial ground. In addition, one employee also had an experience on the railroad track tunnel in the park. After hours, when all the guests are gone, the cafe would close. When any of the employees would be sent to toss away the trash at the far end of the parking lot, they'd have to go in pairs. The reason for this is when you cross the tracks near the cafe, you can see the silhouettes of Indian women walking through the woods. Sometimes you can also see what appears to be a fire burning in the far corner. When you go check it out, it slowly fades away. Then in Riverside is Indian Hills, the Avila's house. It's an old mansion located in Indian Hills. At night, there have been reports of an old woman being seen walking the hallways and knocking on the door to the laundry room. Then there's the Mission Inn in Riverside. It's an older, I guess you call it semi-spooky, but classy and pricey hotel. Guests of the inn may enjoy modern amenities such as an outdoor Olympic-sized pool and a fitness center. But the catacombs that run underneath the building going in the direction of Mount Rubidoux are now closed. As one former employee of the inn remembers, an older gentleman was once given a room in one of the upper stories of the building. Now, there were no lower floor rooms available due to construction that was going on. The next morning, when he was asked if his accommodations were adequate, he replied, "All was fine, especially the woman singing beautifully in the next room." Now, the interesting thing was he was the only tenant on that floor. The building is said to be haunted by the Millers. Now, it was originally the Mission Inn was originally a 12-room cottage that stood where the pool now stands. The existing structure of the hotel was begun in 1900, completed about 1947. First owned by C.C. Miller and then sold to his son Frank in 1900, Frank's sister Alice managed the hotel until she died in the late 40s. Then at the Mission Inn is room 215. People who stayed in that room report seeing a blue light the size of a bowling ball that seems to roll about the room. Then there's Alice Miller's room, also known as Aunt Alice. It's on the fourth floor in the southeast corner. This two-level room has very active spirits. There have been reports of cold spots, the feeling of being touched, apparitions, and You have a strong feeling that Alice is still there. Then there's the bridal and honeymoon suite at the Mission Inn. Across from Alice Miller's room is the what's referred to as the bridal or honeymoon suite. There are multiple reports of people being pushed down the spiral staircase in this two-level room. 1993, a couple on their honeymoon night checked out of the room just after midnight. They reported that one of them had been pushed down the stairwell by something or someone they couldn't see. Then beneath the Mission Inn is the catacombs, as I said. Once it was an underground museum. The area was closed to the public when the hotel was reopened in 1992. There was an enormous amount of activity in the area of the foyer during the years immediately following the hotel's reopening. The hotel's controller at reopening resigned after seeing somebody in this area late one evening. Never would say what was specifically was seen, but whatever it was, he was out of there. Then there's Frank Miller's room at the Mission Inn. It's also on the fourth floor. One of the only rooms not restored during the closure of the hotel from 1985 to 1992. It's now a banquet room at the end of Arthur's Row. When you're there, you feel the strong presence of Mr. Miller. Then the hallways at the Mission Inn. There have been numerous sightings of vanishing guests along the hallways, particularly along Arthur's Row. Then there's the covered hallway near Alice Miller's room, and the second and fourth floor hallways that run parallel to the pool. There have been reports of apparitions seen. Then there's the Mission Dining Room, also known as the Spanish Dining Room at the Mission Inn. Apparitions have been seen traveling near the ceiling from the entrance wall near the patio to the far back wall. Then there's the rotunda at the Mission Inn. There have been some sightings. This area is closed to the public after reopening, but has since reopened a retail space about 1997 or 98. But in spite of the fact that retail activity does continue, there have been a number of stories of apparitions. Then there's the Spanish patio. Strong presences have been felt throughout the patio, particularly in the northeast corner near the Lincoln bust. There's a Mission theme glockenspiel that was designed by Alice Miller, who died just before it was completed. This item is notorious for misbehaving. Then there's the St. Francis Chapel courtyard at the Mission Inn. A number of strong presences have been experienced near the left end of the Flyers Wall Memorial. Then at the Mission Inn, there's the storage building behind the hotel on the north side. It's attached by a small bridge to the main structure of the hotel. This small building has been closed to the public since reopening and has even limited employee access. Been numerous accounts of sightings and unexplained noises reported. Construction worker reportedly lost his life during the construction in the late 80s in this building, and he stays around. Then in Riverside is Mount Rubidoux. If you take the time to visit this location, it's said that late at night, old spirits can be seen walking the tops of the rough terrain. If you go across the area, you'll also likely find a tiny picture encased in a jagged rock of Mount Rubidoux, which appears to be the portrait of Jesus Christ. Well, earlier folks who witnessed that picture said it used to appear as the Mother Mary. Then at Riverside is Palm Desert, the high school. It's reported a young girl walking around at night around the pool. Said she drowned in 1990 and never left her school, hoping to one day be on the swim team again. Then in Riverside is the Press Enterprise. There were reports of an old lady walking the hallway near the old press room. She disappears as she passes by the doors. And the doors of the restroom stalls slam shut and lock themselves as you stand there and watch. And some folks in the restroom report being tapped on the right shoulder and then feeling overcome by a shuddering cold. Then there's the Riverside Bridge. Supposedly the now dry riverbed used to house a green monster. This monster was reportedly seen on one occasion when it came up on the bridge and attacked the passenger of a car. Green residue was the only evidence left behind on this interaction between the monster and civilization. Then there's Riverside Cemetery. It's an extremely old burial site. It's now owned by the Riverside Park and Recreation. The grounds are run down and not well kept. It has fallen headstones that lie haphazardly among the final resting places of the dead. Residents of the area, live folks that is, live a mere 50 feet from the graveyard. And to this creepy scene, the irony of a one-way sign situated across from the cemetery, it glows eerily without the aid of streetlights, adds an interesting twist. Then there's the Riverside Municipal Auditorium. Like many theaters, Riverside Municipal Auditorium decided to put on a production of The Nutcracker. An old man who'd longed to see the show for years bought admission to the show, but during the play, he was discovered to be dead. Autopsy showed he was supposed to have died of natural causes, whatever that might be. And to this day, people claim to see him sitting in the audience on many occasions. Maybe he's hoping to finish the play he never got a chance to finish. Then there's University of California Rivera Library in Riverside. Most of the very large Rivera Library was remodeled between 2000 and 2001. Now, parts of it were left untouched. If you enter the main entrance and turn left, it'll be very clear which parts are the older parts. And it's said that a female ghost haunts these areas on the first and second floors, mainly at night and usually after patrons have left, and sometimes she's seen in the early morning hours. Janitors who work after midnight reported hearing strange sounds and feeling cold spots. And others have reported smelling obnoxious odors coming out of the basement. Great time to go there would be during finals when it's said the library is open till 2 a.m. Then there's Victoria and Dufferin. People have said that have seen many black burrs wandering the area and heard the screeching cries that sound like children being tortured. Never any explanation for what they are. Then in Rockland is Finn Hall. It's a playhouse, and the ghosts of old playwriters from about 20 years ago still haunt the halls today. Then in Rockland is the Rockland High School Theater. There's a ghost named Billy who's said to haunt this school's theater. Been many incidents, such as when after school two students helping a teacher touch up paint on the walls of the theater saw help mysteriously written on the unpainted part of the wall. On another occasion, a cell phone was found after school and put in a locked cupboard for 3 days. When it started ringing on the third day, the student unlocked the cupboard to answer it and couldn't get to it in time, so he dialed *69. A graduated student that was visiting had their cell phone ring. The first student asked why she was calling. She said that number had called her the day before. And she didn't call that number at all. Interesting thing is the phone had been locked up all weekend long. And only the teacher had keys to the lock. So who called that student from that phone is still a mystery to this day. Then there's Ronert Park. It has another Gravity Hill. In Rosemead, the Don Bosco Tech, student who shot himself in the parking lot, still seen at night in the front parking lot. Students have also heard people crying in the restrooms of the 400 and 600 buildings. In Rosemead is Richard Garvey Intermediate. Teachers have been knowing about the 500 building being haunted for a long time. Sometimes the janitors have been touched on the shoulder while they're cleaning up, and a number of teachers told the students not to hang around there. But they always say it's a tradition for the 8th grade students from 2001 reported they felt like they were being watched all the time, and that's still being reported today. Then at the corner of Rush and San Gabriel Boulevard in Rosemead, at that intersection a few years ago, an MTA bus crashed into a small car and killed one of the passengers. The wreckage of a scar still remains. People say a shadowy figure can be seen standing underneath the tree as if waiting for somebody. People also say they hear or feel somebody when waiting at the crosswalk where the accident occurred. though they don't ever report that they've seen anybody. They just feel they're there. Roseville, Wood Creek High School. A ghost by the name of Mac haunts the theater. He's known for dropping lights from the ceiling, locking doors in the theater, and tripping actors when they're backstage. Roland Heights, the Roland High School. One of the faculty members died in a car accident right in front of the school, and since then at night, students have been reported a lady wearing torn-up clothes and scars on her face standing in the middle of the road. If they approach her, she's suddenly not there. Rubidoux. Mount Rubidoux. 20 hours of 1 and 3 on the east end of the mountain, strange figures have been seen running about. And there, some of them will actually hide as if playing a game of hide and seek. They've been described, witnesses have described seeing elves and little people on the mountain. And these elves are, if they know they've been seen, have been known to throw rocks in your direction. And if you followed the path up, as you go back down, you'll find small piles of rocks in the path, even though you know they weren't there when you came up. Let's talk about Sacramento, Ashford Park Apartments. Number of people reported seeing the apparition of a child. And sometimes they actually hear the child calling for its mother, but they've never been able to find who that child might be. Then there's the Crocker Art Museum. Reports a feeling of presence and hearing squeaking of the floorboards, and some folks have even reported seeing the apparition of a man moving about the building. Then in Sacramento's the Delta King Riverboat Theater. It's an old paddle wheel boat docked at Old Sacramento. It's now used as a theater and a restaurant. It's said to be haunted by the ghost of the original captain. Employees have been reported seeing him sitting in the balcony during productions. And footsteps are heard above deck. A glass of water spilled by an unseen force onto the soundboard in the sound booth have caused numerous problems. Then the Burger King on Florin Road in Sacramento. One day during a busy lunch hour, a gunman walked in and shot the store manager and then shot himself. It's believed on certain late-night shifts, the people working can hear gunshots, shots, and screams of spirits involved are reenacting the event. Nobody knows why this event took place. Then there's the Freeport factory. It said it's haunted by workers who died on the job. If you're able to open the door to the factory, make sure you hold on or the door is slammed shut and locked on its own. And you can also hear the sound of little children laughing as if they're playing in a playground. Then in Sacramento is Iceland, the oldest skating rink in town. The original owner and builder of Sacramento's oldest ice rink still makes his rounds at night. Pops Kurth, father of Sacramento City Councilman and mayoral hopeful, Rob Kurth, wanders the dark, cold rink at 4 in the morning, just as he always did, making sure everything is fine. Then at Jackson and Bradshaw in Sacramento, the house was built pre-Gold Rush. Been reports of children crying, people hearing screaming, whispering, items move on their own, and there have been a lot of reports of shadows moving about the rooms. When security comes in, they never find anything, though. Then in Sacramento's the Martinez House, located at H and 22nd Street. This two-story stone structure, complete with a creepy attic, palm tree, and two gargoyles with lion heads, was the site of a murder. Said that Dr. Arden Hart, who founded Sutter Hospital, gave this house to the patriarch of his family who apparently suffered from some form of dementia. According to the story, one day he murdered everybody in the building, including the household staff, his grandchildren, and even the family cat. Well, the house was sold very cheaply to the Martinez family in 1976, who then started reporting struggles going on in the kitchen in the middle of the night. The apparitions of a panting present would visualize. It's an Oriental man in a white lab coat, and they've seen a woman in a flower print dress, the grandchildren, and the gray and white cat. The house had been abandoned since 2000 when the grandson of the family who lived there briefly, but was scared out by something changing the radio stations constantly. Now, it's been under paranormal investigation along with the Sacramento Theater Company, not too far from it. They found a lot of interesting occurrences. Then there's the Puente House in Sacramento. It's located on F Street in downtown. In the 80s, it was a boarding house for senior citizens. Dorothea Puente, the landlady, was subsequently found guilty of murdering her boarders and burying them in the backyard so she can collect her Social Security checks. Now, the house has been renovated and resold, but it's... Those who live there say it's got an eerie quality about it. Photos taken in front of the house show anomalies and ectoplasmic mist. Let's see. Then there's the Record in Sacramento. The ghost of a very old woman wearing Victorian clothing has been seen a number of times at this location. Then there's Sand Cove Park. Ghost lights appear from time to time. You hear a woman's voice saying, "Te papa," near the Sacramento River. Site was probably an Indian burial ground or a mine shaft at one point in time. And in Sacramento's the Sacramento City Cemetery. Been reports of several apparitions, including a couple dressed in black, a pit bull who follows visitors around the cemetery and suddenly disappears. Now, I might point out that no animals are allowed inside the gate. And a little girl has been seen playing near the headstone of a deceased child. Now, this cemetery is closed at night, except for an occasional guided tour, and it's well known for its numerous hauntings. Then the Sacramento Room of the Central Library. It's on the second floor. Sometimes it feels and sounds like somebody's in the back of the room in the California section. Staff often hears the sound of mylar rustling. Most of the times it sounds like somebody's shelving or pulling books off the shelves. Also sounds like somebody's in the copy room when there's nobody there. There'll be a staff member look for a book and they won't find it on the shelf, and another staff person will look for it and they'll find it in the proper place. In fact, they've had up to four people look before one of the four finally finds the book exactly where it ought to be. One employee working in the office a little before 7 in the morning heard the wooden shutters on the door leading to the copy room area rattle. Thinking it was a custodian entering, he paid it no mind until he realized he hadn't heard the front door, which was locked, open up. Acquainted with the story surrounding the Sacramento room and having had prior experiences in the building, he wasn't surprised to discover nobody there when he went to look. A complete walk through the room found it completely empty. And subsequent conversations with the custodian revealed that no employee had been in that area at that time. In fact, the person that heard the sound had actually been in the building by themselves. Then there's the Sacramento Theater Company, reported to be the most haunted building in Sacramento. It's home to at least five ghosts. Most well-known ghost, believed to be a former stagehand, has been affectionately dubbed Pinky because of the glowing pink aura that's often seen near hotspots they associate with the ghost. Disturbances include footsteps heard on the stage after hours, apparitions of a man walking the hallways, lights flickering. Then there's Sutter Middle School in Sacramento. Sometimes at night, witnesses have reported doors slamming and items moving around. It's believed to have been built on top of an Indian burial ground. Then in Sacramento, there are the tunnels underneath Old Sacramento. There are a series of tunnels that run underneath this location. Tunnels originally the streets of Sacramento before the first eight or so blocks next to the river were raised above sea level to avoid flooding. Apparently the tunnels had served as opium dens, brothels, and possibly for ritualistic activity at one point. Several business owners that had access to the tunnels reported an extremely menacing energy and strange noises coming from the tunnels. They even hired a paranormal investigator. Whatever he found, he didn't announce publicly, but many of the tunnels are now sealed off. Others say people can still enter the old tunnels through basements in the older buildings in Old Town Sacramento, as long as they have the property owner's permission. And everything is said to be still preserved. Then in Salinas is the old stage road. Been many hauntings associated with this old stage road. Runs outside of Salinas and goes through the back roads of King City. One of the most infamous stories that is passed down came from the late 1800s or early 1900s. According to the story, there was a woman who walked along the side of the road, and there was a man who asked her for a ride, and she offered her a ride, and she accepted. After a couple of minutes, he pulled over and attacked and raped her. After this, he took the body out into the field and, after killing her, decapitated her. He then went and threw the head out into the field and left the body laying where he'd killed her. After that, there were sightings of a woman walking down the road holding her own head, or sometimes you see the woman walking. If someone picks her up, she'll sit there for a moment and vanish right about where the crime occurred. Then in Salinas, there's the Market Street House. There's no woman who's said to have committed suicide in that house by hanging herself in the living room. She's been seen wearing a black dress. Children and other witnesses reported a feeling of choking and feeling of her trying to interact with different people. So far, no one has successfully interacted with her. Then in Salinas is the Salinas High Bell Tower. It's reported from several students, a teenage girl, somewhere between 15 and 18. They believe her name was Jennifer, had been seen in her looking for her boyfriend. His name was Adrian. It said she was asking students to tell him goodbye for her, and then she said they committed suicide by jumping from the bell tower. San Bernardino, Agua Mansa Cemetery. The whole stretch of road leading to this cemetery is said to be haunted by a beautiful lady that drowned her 6 children many, many years ago. Now, according to Hispanic legend, this is La Llorona, though the first La Llorona came from the El Paso area. And it said she's doomed to roam the streets in search of the children she killed until the end of time. There have also been many unexplained fatal car accidents in this area, as well as hauntings committed by 2 people who are said to have been murdered execution style on that road. In the apartments on Marshall Boulevard, which are said to be abandoned in San Bernardino. Been reports of cold spots, and people have seen the apparition of a little girl. Aquinas High School in San Bernardino. A student from Aquinas hung himself on a beam between the stairways. His floating image can be seen after dark in the library as well. And there's the Calico Ghost Town in San Bernardino. People who claim to see the ghost of Wyatt Earp walk down the dust roads of Calico, tipping his hat at him when he walks by. People have also said the old mine tunnel was haunted by the men who died there while trying to seek their fortune. Some employees have said that they've seen a man with a pickaxe warning them not to walk. And in that area, and a lot of visitors reported having different types of sightings. Then there's the California Theater in San Bernardino. Witnesses reported a presence being felt, and you see movement out of your peripheral vision, they say. Then there's another Gravity Hill in San Bernardino. Go on Highway 18 toward Lake Arrowhead, turn right on Old Waterman Canyon Road, and drive till you get to the first small bridge. Then there's Holy Rosary Catholic School, kindergarten through the 8th grade. Only one teacher opens up in the morning at 6 a.m. because of the sightings of nuns walking the hall, going to classrooms. The school is said to be really old, and a teacher who came every morning to open it up wouldn't talk much. But she did tell a few of the older kids some of what she had seen. Then there's St. Bernardine Hospital in San Bernardino. Witnesses reported a nun being seen walking the halls in the oldest parts of the hospital. Those reports go back at least 30 years. She's seen mostly at night on a few different floors. Now, this part of the hospital is no longer used for patients, and generally at night it's empty. There used to be a convent connected to this part of the hospital, and more than a few nuns have died there. Then there's the San Bernardino High Auditorium. Witnesses report doors close at night, lights go on by themselves. Stories have been heard by teachers that used to be students from the school that have seen weird figures in the auditorium. It's also said one of the students was fixing the lights on the second floor balcony and they fell off. And when it hit the floor, of course, they died. Cold spots have also been reported by students that go up to the second floor balcony. And in San Bruno, there's Chuck E. Cheese. Customers say there are cold spots in the showroom area. You feel somebody's watching them. And at nighttime, one customer saw the shadow of somebody, though they never did see the figure itself. San Clemente, Shorecliffs Golf Course. There are sewer pipes that run through the Shorecliffs Golf Course, and witnesses who've explored report seeing the images of children floating through the walls and sometimes walking in the tunnels. They've also reported the sounds of laughter and crying, but they can't find any reason for it. Also, growling animals are heard snarling and whimpering as if in combat. And then there's the Toledo Golf Course, hole 2. It's a par 5 uphill, San Clemente. The Indian woman's been seen in the brush-filled savanna between the tee and the fairway apron. Generally, is a very faint image of the Native American appears in the morning and the very late afternoons. Nobody knows who she is or why she's there. Then in San Clemente's, the train tracks near Cotton's. Sometimes, witnesses reported seeing blood on the train tracks near Cotton's, where a surfer was killed while attempting to cross the railway to get down to the water. His ghost has also been alleged to have actually saved other surfers from harm in a general area. And in San Diego, Bonita, on Bonita Road. Reports of an older man appears in the back seat of the witness's car. He's said to be the ghost of a man who was run over at that location. He's just looking for a ride, apparently. Then there's Bonita Vista High School. The boys' locker room, showers sometimes turning off on and off by themselves. Boys' bathroom in the gym's front room have been reported to have loud whispering coming from it when there's nobody inside, and quite often a malevolent force is felt. In the gym itself, cold spots are often felt on the bleachers, and at times you can feel a hand grab your ankle or shoulder, even if you're there by yourself. Then in San Diego is the Brooklyn Elementary School. Janitors claim to see children running through the hallways at night, and when they try to go home after their shift is over, the doors won't open. They say they feel there's somebody on the other side pushing against the door. They also reported cold spots and the fact they hear children crying, but they never find any children to account for the sounds. In San Diego, there's Chula Vista, Proctor Valley. If you park in a dirt parking lot next to the fence, you'll see a lady in white floating across a field, and you'll often feel that hear what sounds like somebody throwing rocks at you. Then there's downtown Solar Turbines in San Diego. Harbor Drive near San Diego Airport and Kearney Mesa on Ruffin Road, Global Power Company built in the 1880s. Apparitions have been seen in the engineering factory areas. Now, these apparitions are said to be devoted workers who have long since passed over, but won't retire, so to speak. Office areas have been reported to have unintelligible whispers, and elevators have been seen moving with nobody pushing a call button. Then you hear the sounds of doors opening and closing. Now, this is a secure industrial facility, and access is restricted, but in spite of that, strange activity has been reported. Then in San Diego's El Cajon, one of the mobile home spaces. One of the spaces, there's said to be an old man who appears occasionally in the house where two old people live, a woman and a man. Once when the man who lived there was saying a prayer, the ghost would really get mad and start throwing stuff off the shelf. Then when the man was out of the house, the woman thought he was back, and she heard the doorknob starting to twist, but not open, so she went to look, and there was nobody there. Another time, the man was fixing up his car, and he saw the ghost and said hi because he thought it was a person who lived down elsewhere in the park. Put his screwdriver down, and when he went back for it, it wasn't where he put it. So he looked up and down the street, and the ghost was nowhere in sight. They say the ghost is very pale, and he can only see his upper body. Then there's El Cajon, Rios Canyon in San Diego. The ghost of two cowboys can be seen at the back end of the canyon on the old dirt road. Some say they were looking for the lost goal. Then El Fandango restaurant. Woman in white appears in a very dark table back in the corner. Horton Grand Hotel in San Diego. It's located in downtown. It's got one or more haunted rooms. Among other things, apparitions have been seen, the sounds of footsteps and voices, and the temperature changes. and is the Hotel Del Coronado in San Diego. Kate Morgan reportedly killed herself in the hotel. Her body was found on the steps leading to the beach. It's also thought it might have been murder. She's seen not only in her room, which is now room 3312, but in other areas of the hotel and out on the grounds as well. Then there's Lake Marino Campground. Across from one of the campsites, there's a wooded area there. And people report seeing the ghost of a young woman in a long white dress. There's a cold and eerie presence near the boulders that lie beneath the trees, and her apparition has been seen on two occasions by two different men in this area. The first sighting occurred on a warm July night about 9 p.m. A group was setting up camp, and one of the men ventured over to the dark area and found the young lady looking at him. Now, he was startled and didn't want to intrude, so he turned away, but when he looked back, she had vanished, but in spite of that, he could still feel her presence. The second sighting occurred about 3 in the morning, a couple of days later. Another man from the same group of campers got out of his tent after being awakened from deep sleep by an unknown presence. He looked over his tent and saw the lady pacing behind it. She stopped, looked at him in the face, and continued to pace as if she was waiting for somebody. He went to wake up his friends, but by the time he got everybody awake, she was gone. Well, not being able to sleep after that sighting, he decided to stay awake with another camper and started a campfire. And as soon as the fire got going in the distance, I could hear the voice of a woman laughing and talking. She was even singing. There seemed to be no explanation for it at that time of the morning. On other occasions, these same campers reported hearing heavy footsteps around their tents during the night that don't fade as if somebody were walking away, but simply stop. But when they checked, is there anybody there? In a photo taken by one of the campers of this area, there appears to be a large orb floating right next to the figure that's in the picture. In San Diego's McDonald's on Miramar Road, strange things happen there in the dead of the night while McDonald's workers would be closing and preparing for the next day. Tubs of mustard, straws, and other things of that type would be thrown across and scattered the next morning. In one of the bathroom stalls, it was the picture of the devil created from the wood grains of the stall door. The door has been replaced due to too many visitors wanting to see the face. Then in Mission Valley, there's the Taco Bell. Employees were reported hearing whispering coming from the bathroom. Trash door swing one time at closing. And one morning with three closers and one manager and two crew. One of the crew members was washing dishes, and he thought he saw somebody. He thought it was an employee that walked up behind him and went in the walk-in freezer. So he thought he'd play a joke on the employees. He held the door tightly to keep it shut. The door was moving like there was somebody in there and trying to get out. So he went to see if the manager was coming, and shocked to see both the manager and the employee he thought he had locked in the freezer, working elsewhere in the building. He was disconcerted by this. The question is, who was in the freezer? When they all got together and opened the door, there was nobody there. Then there's Montgomery High School. Floating lights can be seen late at night in the football stadium. Witnesses have heard screaming and saw balls of floating light come to them. In fact, they chased them until they got to the front door of the school near the main office. And they heard the sounds of voices coming from the bathrooms as well. The Marians Middle School in San Diego. School was built in the early 50s. There was a girl that once went to the school in the 60s who died by bumping her head during a PE class. Ever since then, people have reported strange noises coming from behind them. When they turn, there's nobody there. Then there's NAS Miramar, Naval Air Station. Hangar 1 is haunted by the crew of an F-8 Crusader that crashed there in the late 1960s. There's Nijia Market, small Japanese grocery store. An elderly customer suffered a heart attack and died in the store. Sometimes objects fall from the shelves on their own with no explanations. One manager, while there in the middle of the night, heard strange noises and heard his name being whispered, but he never found anybody to account for it. There is the El Campo Santo Cemetery, formerly known as Old Town Cemetery. Partially paved over with a road, it said ghosts appeared to be crossing that section of the road at night. Among the numerous other spirits sighted in the location, psychics claim that the site is to this day overseen by the spirit of the gravedigger whose own grave is near the cemetery's southeast corner. Now, I would urge everyone to go look at my Facebook, which is Ken Hudnall, or go to YouTube and look at the trailers for Beyond Roswell. I think you'll find it absolutely fascinating. With that having been said, until tomorrow night at 6 p.m., this is Ken Hudnall for The Ken Hudnall Show saying have a truly great evening.